Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Breaking into a Premier League first team is harder than ever. Every year, thousands of young players enter the youth academies. Every year, maybe a dozen will make their debut for a top-level club. Only the very best of the best prevail. I'm Faye Carruthers. Welcome to The Next Big Thing. Newcastle United's history is littered with local heroes. Players who grew up in the shadow of the Gallagate end and went on to excel in front of it. From Jackie Milburn.
Len White took the kick, a beauty, and Jack Milburn headed through. Yes, Newcastle were one up with a goal in less than a minute.
To Paul Gascoigne.
Gascoigne. Oh, it's a beautiful goal. An absolute gem.
And of course, Alan Shearer.
Space for Dyer, who's fully recovered. If he can keep the ball in play, he can. The lack of defensive cover means that he can get on the end of it. Shearer on a hat-trick! A picture-book goal to wrap up the first half of Newcastle United!
But in recent years, the flow of local talent has dried up a little. Andy Carroll came, went, and then returned. The Longstaff brothers have recently established themselves with the first-team squad. But nobody's quite set the pulses racing in the same way as those players years ago. But there's an 18-year-old on the fringes of Steve Bruce's first team that could change all of that. His name is Elliot Anderson. So who is he?
Elliot Anderson is an 18-year-old midfielder, primarily attacking midfielder, but can play box-to-box as well.
Chris Woff, Newcastle United correspondent for The Athletic.
He's come through Newcastle United's academy. He's from the area. He's from North Tyneside, Whitley Bay area. And he is seen as one of the big prospects at Newcastle. There's a couple of young lads who they're quite positive about and who they think could potentially develop a bit younger lads, and Joe White and also Bobby Clark, who's the son of Lee Clark. But in terms of the next player who could really make the step up, that they believe could be Elliot Anderson.
He burst onto the scene really last season.
Lee Ryder, chief Newcastle United writer for the Newcastle Chronicle.
Very raw midfielder, skillful, can beat a man in a sort of old-fashioned way that often gets coached out of players now, and has a goal in him as well. And not just the spectacular, he seems to pop up and score scrappy goals, headers, things like that. So, you know, we're talking about a teenager here who, you know, still rides around on his bike to train and things like that. So very raw, and one that, you know, Newcastle obviously have high hopes for.
I'd say number 10 is his preferred position. I think he's one of those players who could play at any position across the pitch, really, and impress.
Miles Starforth, Newcastle United correspondent for the Shields Gazette.
But certainly number 10 is where he sees himself, sees his future. He's right-footed, but not scared to use his left foot. He's been described as a bit of a throwback, really. He certainly likes to put his foot in. He loves winning the ball back. I was told when he first kind of stepped up the levels, he was kind of pushed around a little bit. And certainly this season, I think we've seen teams at under 23 level targeting him, but he can handle that now. He's strong.
And Steve Bruce has even said that it's practically inevitable that at some point in the next few weeks and months, Elliot Anderson will play for the first team. So Newcastle United internally rate him very highly. The coaches rate him very highly. He played earlier in the season for the under-21s in the EFL Trophy against Bolton, scored twice, and one of his goals was just an absolutely wonderful finish where the keeper was rushing out and he was on the right-hand side of the box and he just lifted it over him absolutely beautifully. And I think that technical ability is as well as having that little edge to him and that ability, that physicality is what's really made him exciting and why Newcastle see such a big future for him.
It was pretty obvious that Anderson was a talent from a very early age.
This kid really just stuck out. His first touch, he's both-footed as well. Everything about him, he's kind of his balance and his vision. I was just like, this kid is very different to what we've seen in recent years. And, you know, you don't want to build players up too much. You certainly have to watch what you're doing and play the sort of nice game in the media and just keep giving them good little reports. But this kid just looks different and he has this kind of air of confidence around him where, I mean, I've interviewed him a couple of times and it's almost like he doesn't actually realise how good he is at this stage.
And that talent's won him a call-up to the first team squad, where he's already turning heads.
On the training ground, certainly, the first team players have been so impressive. I know Alan Saint-Maximin, he's made a big impression on, and also a few of the midfielders who've watched some of the things he's been capable of doing, but also just his confidence in himself when he's not in an arrogant sort of way, just that he feels already as if he's settled in, he's part of it at first team level. So really, it's been promising signs so far, and he's made huge strides over the course of the last few months, considering the fact that he's only played sort of, I think, about 20 games at under-23 level. He isn't exactly a seasoned under-23 player, whereas so for Newcastle, they've fast-tracked him through the system because they see something there. And at every level so far, he's made the step up, and hopefully he'll be able to continue doing that.
What's interesting is the way that he's been accepted at first-team level. This season, he's been training with the first team for the past 2 or 3 months, and in a way, the kind of COVID protocols and regulations have helped him, because we're not seeing the players being called up and then returning back to the 23 level on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. If you make the step up, you stay in the first team bubble, and you just really drop down to play games at that level.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the team's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham, all new, Thursdays on FX, stream on Hulu.
Anderson was born just outside Newcastle, but he's already represented Scotland at various youth levels. There could be a cross-border battle for his loyalty, though.
He actually has appeared for Scotland from his dad's side. He played for Scotland's youth international side, but England are also aware of him. My understanding is they have been in touch in terms of to make sure that they can try and get him into the English setup as well. So he has the possibility of going down both routes.
It looks like they're going to try and fast-track him. I mean, they couldn't throw him in at the deep end at the moment because they've just qualified for the Euros and Had some big Nations League games, but I think when there's a lower key game, I do think they will hand him a debut, especially if he, you know, gets to the into the Newcastle first team already. I mean, it was actually already mentioned that as a possibility when I spoke to people in the Scotland camp, you know, when they were talking about Theo Walcott went to the World Cup as the sort of 23rd man, and who knows if Elliot Anderson, that would cap a dream season if he end up in the squad for Euro 2020, or that would fairy tale if he end up in that squad.
Those who know Elliot Anderson talk about a character with maturity beyond his years, and he's not one to shout about his talent too loudly either.
He's quite unassuming in some ways, and the first time I interviewed him, it was almost like, "What, you want to speak to me?" It was almost like he couldn't see what the fuss was about and why he needed to do the interview. He had no problem doing it. It was at Port Vale, actually, and he kind of swaggered out the dressing room in some ways. Not in an arrogant way, just in a, "Oh, well, I've played the game now, I've scored a goal, I'm getting back on the bus." And then, you know, we start interviewing him, and he hasn't done it before, and he's given you really honest answers.
He's got the captain for the under-23s team at the age of 18. I'm told he deserves that. The players respect him at that level. He's playing alongside, you know, others who are 19, 20, and, you know, into their 20s, really, and he's got the armband. And the fact that they've given him that shows what they think of him. And I think he's really thrived in that kind of with that responsibility. Look at his goal scoring and his contribution in recent games. He's got the brain to play across the pitch, really. I think you could probably play him at fullback, and he would be possibly the best player on the pitch. He's got that talent, that vision. So they see him as a special talent, and one that certainly got the potential to kind of kick on at first team level.
It's that sort of mentality that persuaded Newcastle to award Anderson a new contract, on his 18th birthday, no less. It will also endear him to the Newcastle fans, as will his family history.
Elliot Anderson's grandfather, Jeff Allen, played for Newcastle United in the 1960s. He was one of the youngest ever players, and I think he was really seen as being a big prospect, but he had a few injuries. He was part of the 1969 Intercities Fairs Cup winning team, so the last squad Newcastle United had 51 years ago, who actually won a major trophy.
His local credentials don't end there. As a boy, Anderson played for Wall's End Boys Club, the youth side whose graduates include Shearer, Peter Beardsley, Michael Carrick, and current manager Steve Bruce.
Wall's End Boys Club was where Elliot Anderson was for a period before he joined Newcastle's academy, and the number of players who've gone through that club, the likes of Alan Shearer and so many other youngsters, it really is a sort of special quote-unquote talent factory, for want of a less cliched term, on Tyneside. And I think the reputation that it's built, that's part of the reason why so many young promising players end up there, because they want to go there because they've seen that in the past youngsters who've joined Wall's End Boys Club will eventually go on to have a successful career.
If Anderson does establish himself in the Newcastle first team, it will be a victory for the reforms to their youth setup that have been put in place recently, as Chris Woff explains.
Well, Newcastle United under Mike Ashley have a pretty poor record at bringing players through. I mean, there's a lot of things you can say that Mike Ashley's had a poor record out of Newcastle United, but one of them is certainly bringing players through. Really, since Andy Carroll came through well in excess of a decade ago, aside from Paul Dummett, there's been very few players, if any, who've become first-team regulars. During the summer of 2019, Newcastle restructured their academy setup. They've changed it all down there. They've now got Chris Hogg as the under-23 head coach, but then Ben Dawson, who was the head coach, has been moved up to head of academy coaching, and they're looking to really redevelop that. They brought in the former striker, Shola Amiobi, who is their loan coordinator. So basically, he is now being tasked with making sure that when Newcastle do want to send their youth players out on loan, that they find the right clubs, because in the past, they'd send players out on loan, now they wouldn't play or wouldn't be the right style of play for whatever they're looking for. So Shola Amiobi is really building those connections and trying to improve that. And then Steve Harper as well, that conduit between the first team and the under-23s, given more opportunities for players to train with the first team, youth players to train with the first team if they're showing something, and also to really give feedback and to be that point of contact between Steve Bruce and the under-23s. And so Newcastle are hoping that will start to bear fruit, the fact that more players are starting to get opportunities, that the loans, touch wood, so far seem to be a little more productive than they have been in the past, that maybe that these changes that they're making will really solve this problem of why Newcastle haven't been able to produce their own players.
His future appearance in the first team setup could also liven up a Newcastle team which is, to put things kindly, not often the most enthralling side to watch.
Against the top five or six teams, Newcastle play this abject style where it's men behind the ball trying to stay in games and get a break or two and just try and almost keep the score down. It's awful. It reminds me of like youth football, where I played for some particularly poor sides. We just used to try and stop teams playing whatever way we could and literally, yeah, keep the score down. And this Newcastle United, when they're playing against the likes of Chelsea, that's what it feels like.
Elliot could fit quite nicely into the squad in terms of an option off the bench if he continues to kind of progress the way he has been doing. We've seen Steve Bruce use a number 10 for much of the season, and in his time at the club, he likes playing someone off the striker, and that kind of role is perfect for Elliot. And he's the kind of player I think you'd come off the bench and play that role with a bit of freedom.
First, he'll have to convince Steve Bruce. But while the Newcastle manager's not perhaps the most universally loved boss in the club's history, he is prepared to give promising players a chance.
Steve Bruce's record at bringing young players to Newcastle has been quite good so far. He was the one who gave Matty Longstaff his first opportunity last season. I know that Chelsea were very happy with how Steve Bruce dealt with Tammy Abraham when he was at Aston Villa, and at previous clubs he has brought a lot of young players too. So that was something that Newcastle liked in Bruce when they decided that they wanted him to be their head coach. There was various reasons behind it, but one of them was that they said, we want to start trying to bring through some of our young players. We want to become more self-sufficient in that sense, because there hasn't been this pathway between the academy and the first team, and Steve Bruce has embraced that, and if players are good enough, he's willing to get them involved. And other young players have been given opportunities by Steve Bruce, even if it's just in training, a lot of them being invited up. But also last season, Kel Watts, who's an exciting defender who's out on loan at Plymouth at the moment, he made his first team debut off the bench against Liverpool in the last game of the season. Tom Allen, who's a young forward, a Geordie forward, he made his debut in the FA Cup in January and came on and got an assist, and he subsequently gone out on loan to Accrington Stanley. So Steve Bruce has helped to sort of bridge that gap a little bit, and he's keen for, he sees Anderson as one of the players who really actually in the next year to 2 years can bridge the gap and make himself potentially a first team regular.
So how far can Elliot Anderson go? Miles Starforth.
I think Elliot has got everything really there for him to make it at first team level, and by that I mean Premier League level. It's hard to make too many predictions. Obviously, a lot can happen to a player on and off the pitch. But he's got a great attitude. That attitude's taken him a long way. He's got a supportive family around him. And if the club can look after him, nurture him and coax him, I can see him establishing himself at Premier League level.
Chris Woff.
I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure on him as an 18-year-old, and also given how Newcastle's record has been, even if they are trying to address it at bringing players through, I'd be a little bit hesitant to sort of push him too far too soon. But there is a lot of excitement around him. I think that he is someone who can push into the first team and sort of in the next year or two be pushing to sort of be playing regularly in the Premier League.
Lee Ryder.
I personally think he's going to be a player Newcastle are going to have for a couple of years. And then after that, it's up to him. But from what I've seen, if this rapid rate of getting to the next stage and kind of killing it on that stage and then moving up, then it's going to be interesting to see how long they can hold on to him, especially if, you know, he does start getting international teams knocking on the door. I don't want to look too far ahead. I'd just like to see him get in the side and have a debut and back up what people like myself have seen, and also the coaches, the academy people, and you know, prove everybody right that they have, you know, picked a real winner out here.
You can listen to all previous episodes of The Next Big Thing on the Athletic app or by subscribing via your favourite podcast provider. And if you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, sign up now by going to theathletic.com/nextbigthing. Thanks for listening. Chris Woff is Newcastle United correspondent for The Athletic. Lee Ryder is the chief Newcastle United writer for the Newcastle Chronicle, and Miles Starforth writes about Newcastle for the Shields Gazette. The Next Big Thing was produced for The Athletic by Abby Patterson. The writer was Nick Miller. The executive producer was Ian McIntosh.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.